Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to chop up some good game, as we always do on today's broadcast. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Press that like button. Press that subscribe button. We're going to keep chopping up that good game. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And we will be right back right after these messages right here on Tariq Radio. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't y'all move a muscle. Don't move a damn muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas, called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black-owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com.
Does your life suck? Introducing the first ever successful course teaching black people how to connect the divine spirit to solve their problems. Finally, have the things in life you deserve by calling on divine forces, money, love, attracting people you desire, career opportunities, and business success. And most of all, replacing the system of white supremacy with justice. Don't be a scared Negro and go to starknowledge.net now and gain our ancestors' knowledge at starknowledge.net.
Protect yourself and your loved ones with high-quality self-defense products. Urban Guerrilla Security was created to help arm and educate the black community on self-defense. Our products range from pepper spray, stun guns, security cameras, and much more. You can never be too safe. Visit UrbanGuerrillaSecurity.com today. That's UrbanGuerrillaSecurity.com.
Hey, stop overpaying for your supplements. Static Supplements, that is your newest and best source for superfoods, proteins, pre-workout powders, and much more. The Static line features all natural ingredients and they offer lightning fast delivery and award-winning customer service. Static is also 100% black owned and operated. So go to staticsupp.com. That's staticsupp.com. What's up, family? You know it's about to be a pull-up summer, so you want to stand strong with the blackest t-shirt out this summer. The Black SF limited edition t-shirt, created by designer Thad Baltimore, is available right now at webuyblack.com or tbaltimore.com. The shirt is black as F, and you know what the F means, so you need to get yours now, right now, at webuyblack.com.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
Check out the brand new novel, Low Hanging Fruit, by author Tyrus McKnight. Everything seems to be going wrong for 24-year-old Trenton Moore. Everyone close to him is either leaving or dying, but then he meets a 19-year-old Jessica Mars, who's a student who also does exotic dancing to pay her school fees. Can these star-crossed lovers find true love and happiness? Find out by reading the novel, Low-Hanging Fruit, available right now at Amazon.com.
If you are tired of buying expensive cocktails that are weak and leave you disappointed, order a drink from us at LiddyWithLee.com. All of our drinks are made with quality liquor, organic sweeteners, and natural juices. We ship domestically and offer delivery services throughout the NYC area. Here at Liddy with Lee LLC, we strive to provide you with a lit experience in a bottle. Follow us on Instagram at Liddy with Lee or check our website, LiddyWithLee.com.
If you're ready to step up your Second Amendment game right now, then you need to check out the most well-respected, thorough, Black-owned firearms dealership in the United States, and that is Redstone Firearms. Redstone Firearms is headquartered out of Burbank, California, but you can purchase firearms and ammo from their website wherever you are around the country. Not only does Redstone provide the most top-of-the-line weapons for your protection, they also offer consulting, education on up-to-date gun laws, and firearms training. So go to RedstoneFirearms.com right now. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Redstone Firearms.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at OldGoonJuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Old Goon Juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Welcome again to Tariq Radio. I'm back from Costa Rica, by the way, guys, and I'm here charged, ready to chop up good game for the family. I'm going to need you, though, to hit that thumbs up button. I'm going to need you to hit that subscribe button. If you have not subscribed to the show, you need to hit that subscribe button now. And if you have not gotten the film Buck Breaking, you need to go to buckbreakingmovie.com to get the movie Buck Breaking right now, ladies and gentlemen. And when you go to the Buck Breaking movie site, you can get all of our documentary films, Hidden Colors 1 through 5, 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti, and Buck Breaking. You can get those DVDs in a package deal for just $99. Buckbreakingmovie.com. Get all that good stuff. So we got it. Let's just get right into what we need to get into. Today, we're going to talk about the sentencing of Derek Chauvin, the suspected white supremacist who blatantly and brutally murdered George Floyd. We got to get into the sentencing. The sentencing went down today. And George Floyd's killer got what basically, if we want to really be honest, it's still a slap on the wrist. He got 22.5 years in prison for a brazen murder that was committed on video, broad daylight, in front of a crowd full of people, boldly and blatantly killed a black man. In order to get this race soldier charged, there had to be not just nationwide riots and uprisings. The riots and uprisings were global. There were people rioting at U.S. embassies all around the world because of this case. They saw this was a gross miscarriage of justice by not charging this Derek Chauvin initially. They weren't going to charge him. Remember, he wasn't going to get charged for this at all. So it took global outrage just to get this guy charged. And he was convicted, rightfully so. And then the judge today, the way the judge was talking, the judge was doing a lot of splaining. the judge was doing a lot of splaining. Now, some people are happy for the 22 years. It's a lot of people are talking about, well, that's better than nothing. A lot of them get off. Okay. I'm not going to celebrate better than nothing. See? Because, see, that's still celebrating white supremacy. I'm not celebrating yet. We're not going to celebrate better than nothing. When they start getting the same sentences that black folks get, then we'll celebrate. I'm not celebrating 22 years. Is it better than nothing? Yeah, but I'm not going to celebrate it. Yeah, I'm not going to celebrate that quite yet. I'm not in a celebratory mood. But let's be very clear. The only reason he got those 22 years, because that judge, let me tell you something. That judge was on code. That judge was on code with Chauvin. He didn't want to give him that, but that judge was on code. And he just gave him them little jive-ass 22 years, which he's going to do probably 15 or less. He's not going to do the whole 25 years. They're already talking about he's going to do 15 of those. I don't think he's going to do 15. I think he's going to do less than that. Let's be very clear. He's going to do less than that, man. When is the parole? When does his parole come up? They're already pampering this guy and catering to him already. They're doing everything they can in the law to make sure this guy is going to get an easy breezy sentence. Those 22 years are going to be reduced all types of ways. Yeah, I'm not celebrating yet. This is not nothing to really celebrate yet. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he get out in 5 years. Real talk. I wouldn't be surprised, man. These are white supremacists. White supremacists is all about pulling strings. Boy, they got a whole different code book and a law book for each other, man. I want y'all to understand that. For us, you know, we get the maximum sentences. But for them, part of white supremacy, you know, you get a whole different set of rule books. The common law kicks in. A lot of the unwritten rules that you don't really know about. You understand? So we got to understand how the common law game works. Hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, guys. We got to have a deep discussion tonight here with this Derek Chauvin guy who's basically got a slap on the wrist. Look, man, I'm not celebrating. I got a partner who just got out of prison for 20 years for some damn weed. We got black men out here doing 20, 30, and 40 years for plants that grow in the damn ground. They're not killing people like that. Even if you don't kill people, you're getting people, black folks getting 30, 40 years for some plants that grow in the ground that's now legal for white people to sell. I'm not celebrating yet. You understand? See, when we get equal justice, that's when we'll celebrate. But the name of the game is not about equal justice. It's about slap on the wrist racism. That's what we're talking about today. Racism, systematic white supremacy, is all about giving white perpetrators slaps on the wrist, especially when they do a crime against a black person. That's one of the, not just one of the tenets of white supremacy, that's one of the requirements of white supremacy. In order to get all the white supremacists on board, especially the lower level white supremacists who don't have a lot of money, their tangibles are the benefits and privileges they get by virtue of whiteness. So let's be very clear. A lot of people try to equate poor whites with black folks. Well, poor whites and black folks got something in common. No, we don't. Poor whites and black people don't have anything in common because white supremacy is currency. Remember, money is people. Money is people. And money is the time and energy that these people exert, or the energy that's given to them. Money is people. And in the dominant white society, there is a socialist system and a welfare system called white supremacy, where they give each other certain energies of benefits by virtue of being white. They take care of each other. Part of white supremacy are the codes that are used to look out for one another. This is how you can sell it to everybody. This is why everybody in the dominant society generally buy into it. There's too many perks for white supremacy. Don't let them fool you with that. Hey, I'm a poor white person. I'm struggling. I don't have no money. I mean, what privileges do I have? Motherfucker, you are white. That means you can get away with murder, literally. There are benefits and privileges. Don't let them fool you and make you think just because they're poor, there are no benefits and privileges that come along with whiteness. Whiteness is wealth. They made it wealth. And that's okay. I'm not tripping. It's our job to make blackness wealth. See, we got this thing among black people where we're told and we're taught by the white supremacists that we're supposed to come in last. We're taught that we're supposed to be on the bottom. And if we're not on the bottom, we're not being godly. If we're not on the bottom as black people and we pull ourselves up, then that means we done something we weren't supposed to do. This is why anytime, and my black business owners can attest to this, anytime black people start running businesses, there's a contingency within black society, and I'm talking about a small few, who will start attacking you and start projecting nefarious dealings onto you. How you got this business? Are you selling dope? You must have did something slick. They start projecting that stuff onto you. But they don't do it to other people. When black folks start saying, okay, let's open a business in our neighborhood and let's sell our culture to our own people. Man, why is you over here pimping the community up here running the business? That's pimping the community and shit. Don't we hear that all the time from these Sambos and these coons? You don't say nothing about the Asians pimping the community. The Arabs pimping the community who make money and don't give you a damn thing and definitely don't give you anything culturally relevant. You don't have no complaints about them. But the minute a black person does business and give you culturally relevant stuff, you want to complain. Look at the people who complain about our documentaries. We do documentaries uplifting people. We control the content. We have black-owned businesses. We fuel other black-owned businesses. We've created a cottage industry with our documentary films. We've revitalized black bookstores single-handedly with our documentary films, and you still got mush-mouth Sambos talking about, y'all out here pimping the community with all this good information and shit. See, those niggas are cancers to black society. Because see, that goes into that plantation mentality where we're supposed to be on the bottom. I want black people to understand you are not supposed to be on the bottom. Being on the bottom, that is ungodly. A lot of black people think, okay, if I'm on the bottom, there's some kind of moral high ground it is to be beaten down. People can see how badly you've been beaten. So you're just like Jesus. Jesus was beaten and Jesus was battered down. So I'm being just like Jesus by being crucified by other people. Jesus was crucified, so I'm living like Jesus. No, you're living like a coon and a coward. You should never accept bottom status. I want black people to get off that we're supposed to be on the bottom nonsense. See, this is why white supremacy has gone on for so long. Because, see, we've accepted that nonsense. When we stop accepting it, it will go away. We have to stop going along with it and stop being scared. Because, see, the white supremacists throw religion at you and use that as a weapon against you. See, a lot of y'all use religion trying to act like it's some kind of moral high ground, but that just facilitates your cowardice. We better get off that. And going back to this case, ladies and gentlemen, I knew it was going to be some BS. Did y'all see when they had the victim's impact statements, they had George Floyd family come out and I was like, man, they better not be on no forgiveness. And luckily, they were on code enough. And then they brought out Derek Chauvin's mama. Now, family, how many cases have y'all seen where a killer was on trial and they let his mama come out and speak for him and try to garner sympathy in a case like this? When was the last time y'all saw that, especially with a black person? When have you seen a case where there's a black person who's a damn killer and they let his mama come out on trial talking about, well, my son ain't really that bad. He's not a bad person now, during sentencing. They had his mama on there looking like every Karen that you see in these videos. And let's be very clear. All of these white supremacist males, their mamas are the Karens that you see. See, this is why I don't ever go for that women's rights are equal to black rights. No, it's not, because the white supremacist female is right lockstep in line with systematic white supremacy. They are the mothers of the white supremacist males, the Karens. These Karens give birth to these damn Derek Chauvins. Now let's listen to the mom when they brought Mama Karen out here to talk about her son. Now listen to her. Hold on.
I am the mother of Derek Chauvin. I am here to speak on behalf of my entire family. On November 25th, 2020, not only did Derek's life change forever, but so did mine and my family's.
And so did George Floyd's.
Derek devoted 19 years of his life to the Minneapolis Police Department.
And he should have known better. That makes it worse. See, when she starts talking, just break it on down. He was a 19-year veteran. He knew better. He knew what he was doing. In fact, Derek Chauvin, however you pronounce his name, he trained other police officers, guys. This was the person who was training other officers. Okay?
It has been difficult for me to hear and read what the media, public, and prosecution team believe Derek to be an aggressive, heartless, and uncaring person.
It's very difficult to watch the video of your punk ass son killing a black man in cold blood.
I can tell you that is far from the truth.
We got eyes, bitch. We seen it.
My son's identity has also been reduced to that as of a racist.
Yep, we do believe he's a racist. When you kill black people in cold blood, and from what I understand, he has a reputation of targeting black people. George Floyd wasn't the only one. There were other people saying that this guy targeted black folks.
I want this court to know that none of these things are true, and that my son is a good man. Derek always dedicated his life and time to the police department. Even on his days off, he would call in to see if they needed help. Derek is a quiet, thoughtful, honorable, and selfless man. He has a big heart, and he always has put others before his own. The public will never know the loving and caring man he is, but his family does. Even though I have not spoken publicly, I have always supported him 100% and always will. Derek has played over and over in his head the events of that day. I've seen the toll it has taken on him.
Oh, please.
I believe a lengthy sentence will not serve Derek well.
Let me play that part.
He will also be sentencing me.
She said a long sentence wouldn't serve him well. Hold on.
I believe a lengthy sentence will not serve Derek well.
He should have thought of that before he killed a black man.
When you sentence my son, you will also be sentencing me.
Bye, bitch.
I will not be able to see Derek, talk to him on the phone.
Neither will George Floyd's kids.
Or give him our special hug.
Give him one in the visiting room.
Plus the fact that when he is released, his father and I most likely will not be here.
Okay, bye. Okay, well, you can holler at him on visiting hours. Give me a break. The fact that they even let her up here with that old bullshit, I'm like, these folks are so on code with each other, man. This is white supremacy at work. This is why they stay in their position. They are on code, man. These folks stay on code majorly with each other. And I ain't mad at them. We have to be on code. We have to be on code with each other. Because see, right now, these people feel like their power is waning because enough of us are on code. Enough black people are on code right now. And a lot of us ain't playing with the bullshit, see? They bank on us, all of us going along with the program. But see, it only takes a small few of us to not go along with the program. Notice I always talk about 300. Family, 300 black people can change the world. 300 people can make a difference. Just like the movie 300, they were teaching white supremacist society what 300 people can do. Same thing with black folks. We got to understand that, family. When I always talk about the black Seminoles, it was only a few hundred black Seminoles, but they were beating the entire United States Army. The United States Army could not completely defeat the black Seminoles. You understand? It only takes a small handful. Family, when we got the Hidden Color series popping, which changed the world, the Hidden Color series, as we know, that has changed the world. That ushered in the woke movement. The Hidden Color series, let's be very clear, that was the thing, that was the catalyst to usher in the modern woke movement. And remember, in the initial crowdfunding we had for Hidden Colors, it was about 300 people who contributed. Where are my people in the chat room? Where are my initial 300? I always put very special respect on those initial 300 people because my Melanoid 300, that's why we have a Facebook group called Melanoid 300. Those 300 people, and some of you, many of you are in the chat room right now. We have a few thousand in the chat room, but that critical 300, they were the ones who helped change the world as we know it right now. You understand? They were the ones who helped change the world. It only takes a handful of people on code that beats a crowd of thousands who are off code. That's why, family, it's not all about us getting together as black people. We got this whole thing where we just want to get together. What happens when we get together and there's no code? We just have a twerk party and a dust fest. That's why you see videos of just thousands of niggas all together dancing and twerking. When there's no code, niggas just start doing anything. When a whole bunch of us get together and there's no code, niggas gonna start fighting, somebody's gonna start twerking, drinking, smoking, just doing anything. Just hopping on top of cars, shaking their ass, dudes popping their bussy, just doing anything without any rhyme or reason when there's no code. But you get 300 codified people together, especially black folks, that's a threat. That's going to be some real power made. That's why they never like us getting on code with each other. This is why the dominant white society, they're always trying to create rifts among us. They're always trying to do that. And right now, we have to understand that this thing is not a victory. them unveiling all of these George Floyd statues, that's nothing. They're not doing anything that's going to really punish these race soldiers. You know, Biden, he's not going to do anything. They just made an announcement that Biden and those guys, the Biden administration, just signed some kind of executive order. I think it's an executive order, some kind of order where they're going to have a national monument to the Pulse nightclub down there in Florida. Remember the LGBT club that got shot up by another LGBT dude? Well, they're going to have a Pulse nightclub monument down there. So they're right back to prioritizing other groups. You understand? But listen, this is another thing. Because we know, and enough of us know, that we're not going to get any help from the dominant society. We understand that this wrist slap racism is going to continue. We keep begging our elected officials to help us out. They won't do anything. We keep begging our local officials, federal officials, law enforcement. Everybody's on code against us. They've criminalized our blackness. So now we know that we're not going to get any outside help. So a lot of people are taking justice in their own hands. Out in Florida, this week, there was a brother named Othon. What's his name? Othon Wallace. There's a brother named Ozone. Now, this brother, he's been with different militia groups. And he's done some things online. He's definitely known, probably within law enforcement. I won't even say probably. They know who he is because this brother has videos. He's a Second Amendment advocate, as we all should be. He's all about defending himself. Othon Wallace. I want to pronounce the brother's name. I know he goes by the nickname of Ozone down there in Florida. Othon Wallace. Othon Ozone Wallace. Now listen, this brother was at his home a few days ago, in his car, outside of his home, down in Daytona Beach, Florida. He was at his home. Let me keep emphasizing that. In his car. Looked like he just came from some kind of event or whatever, but he was in his car at his home. He was about to get out of his car, and a white race soldier suspect with the Daytona police popped out of nowhere in the middle of the night with a flashlight, popping a flashlight in his car. Like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Hey, where you going? Hey, do you live here? Let me, you know, y'all can't see the video, but let me play the audio. Hold on 1 second. You know what? Let me play the actual audio of this so you guys can get an understanding if you have not seen the video already. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me find it. Okay, now it's going to... come on, let me find it. Hold on. Let me find it. While I'm talking to you guys. Okay, come on. Now when I want to find something, now you can't find nothing. Okay, here it is. Wait, no, that ain't it. Damn. Okay, damn. Hold on. Let me look. When you want to find something, you can't find shit. Okay, let's try this. Okay, come on. Where's this thing? Now that I want to find it, now I can't find it. I cannot find this thing. Okay. Damn. Because I'm going to play the audio for you guys. Okay, I think this is it right here. Okay, fine. I got it. Okay. All right, now this is the audio from the body cam. Hold on. Now listen to this. Now again, Brother Wallace is sitting in his car in the middle of the night outside of his house, his apartment. The race soldier suspect just pulls up on him. Hold on.
How's it going? Do you live here?
What's going on?
Sit down. Sit.
Sir.
Can you sit down? I'll talk to you.
Okay, so now as the race soldier suspect is talking about sit. Can I talk to you? He's grabbing Wallace, right? He's grabbing Wallace's shoulders. He's basically apprehending him. So he's grabbing his shoulders. tell me, hey, sit down, sit. So he just pops out of nowhere. Hey, you live here? Hold on.
How's it going? Do you live here?
What's going on?
Sit down. Sit.
Sir.
Can you sit down? I'll talk to you.
Okay. Come on now. Don't do this.
Sit down.
Why are you asking me do I live here?
Do you live here, yes or no?
What's going on, though?
Who? Charlie 777.
No, back up.
Stop.
Okay. See? I want y'all to really understand this because, see, the white media is trying to spin this as if he's Wallace is some kind of hardened criminal. First of all, Brother Wallace didn't have a warrant. He wasn't committing a crime. This man was at his own place. This suspected race soldier popped out of nowhere. Would not tell him why he was apprehending him. This race soldier pulls up out of the dark, out of nowhere, talking about, hey, you live here? Like, hey, what's this about? What is this? What is this about, man? What is this? Hey, sit down. Let me talk to you. Do you live here, yes or no? The brother's like, hey, man, what is this? And the race soldier suspect would not explain why he's being apprehended. Now, this race soldier suspect is grabbing the brother. The brother is not free to leave. He's grabbing this brother, which is a violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. Detaining without probable cause. So the race soldier suspect is actually violating the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. And then when the brother Wallace keeps asking him, hey, man, what's going on? What is this? The race soldier suspect calls something in. He's calling something in on the radio now. Family, this looks like it was about to be a damn ambush. Okay? This looked like it was about to be an ambush. You just pop out of nowhere, run up on this brother. You don't explain why you're running up on him. You're asking him questions and you're holding him, not letting the brother go. Trying to get him to sit down and hey, grabbing his shoulders. Hold on, let me play
the
audio.
Do you live here?
What's going on?
Sit down. Sit.
Sir.
Can you sit down? I'll talk to you.
Okay. Come on now. Don't do this.
Sit down.
Why are you asking me do I live here?
Do you live here, yes or no?
What's going on, though?
Charlie 777.
Now he's calling back up because they're about to ambush this brother. They were about to ambush this brother, guys. You just run up. You at home. Imagine, family, you're at home and a race soldier just pops up. Hey, you live here? Hey, where you going? Hey, Charlie 777. Oh, what the fuck is this about? This is false imprisonment. You just run up on this brother, apprehending him, and then you calling for backup outside of this man's home and he didn't do anything and you won't explain why you're doing it. This sounds like an attempted ambush setup. And the brother knew it and the brother was prepared for it.
Stop, man.
Okay, so what you heard was Mr. Wallace shooting the officer in the head. Mr. Wallace shot the officer in the head and then got away. Now, they've been looking for Mr. Wallace for the last couple of days. They have been looking for Mr. Wallace for the last couple of days. They're looking for him. And they cannot find him. They had a $100,000 reward for Mr. Wallace. They had a reward for his capture. They had a $100,000 reward. Now they've upped the reward. They have upped the reward. I think there was some kind of private donor who gave an additional $100,000. So now they got $200,000 and they're looking for Mr. Wallace, and they're calling him all types of cowards. Mr. Wallace is not a coward. Mr. Wallace was a victim of what it looks like to be an attempted ambush. Black people do not deserve to be sitting ducks. This brother was in fear of his life. When you had an officer run up on him, violating the Constitution, violating his constitutional rights, that brother feared for his life, and he did what he felt he had to do out of fear and in order to survive. You have card-carrying white supremacists on these police forces all around the country, and nobody's doing anything to stop them. You have card carrying, and this is the FBI admitting this, these card carrying white supremacists who are working with the force, and you know that they're white supremacists. In some cities, it's a damn requirement for them to be part of white supremacist gangs within the police department. It's not just a problem, it's a requirement, especially out here in California. You have these suspected white supremacists in law enforcement, and nobody's doing anything about it. And everybody knows that they're there, but people in the dominant society are perfectly fine. See, let's be very clear. If white society really wanted to do something about it, they would do something about it. Notice how everybody gets on this code of silence. They know that these card-carrying white supremacists are out here in law enforcement killing black people, but they stay silent about it. They play dumb about it because they don't mind that happening because they want black people to be controlled. They'll go out here and do some fake liberal protesting, but they have no problem with the race soldiers controlling the Negros because that is their job. The job of law enforcement is to control the Negros and by proxy control all the benefits of white supremacy. See, the only thing coming between the white supremacists and their benefits is us. The benefits and privileges come based on how badly we are mistreated and how much we are deprived of resources and benefits. So it's imperative that you have an apparatus in place that will keep us in line. That's what police are for. This is why we get maximum penalties, and race soldiers, when they kill us, they get slaps on the wrist like Derek Chauvin. This is why when race soldiers and white supremacists raid the Capitol, they get $500 fines. $500 in fines, just like one of these people from the Capitol riots. One white woman, she got probation and a $500 fine. This just came out a couple of days ago. These people get literal slaps on the wrists. But that's part of the game. That's part of systematic white supremacy, ladies and gentlemen. Where they look out for each other. And we have to start looking out for each other. See, when they're looking for the brother Wallace who defended himself from the suspected race soldier, and the race soldier suspect is still alive, and I'm calling him a suspected race soldier for the fact that he violated the Constitution and targeted an innocent black man. And notice the police department down there, when they're trying to justify why he was even there at brother Wallace's apartment. They put out a statement talking about the officer was doing what's called proactive patrolling. Now, what the hell is that? That sounds like racial targeting. Look at the words they use. They said he was in the neighborhood because he was doing proactive patrolling. See, they come up with these new vague terms when it comes to us. Proactive patrolling means you're targeting somebody. They were targeting Brother Wallace. They knew that this brother was a Second Amendment advocate. They knew that. They were targeting that dude. They were going to ambush that guy, it sounds like. And he knew it, and he was prepared for the ambush. It's not our job to sit up and get ambushed. And then they put out a blue alert looking for Brother Wallace. And a lot of people were shocked, like, what the hell is this? Because it was... they said it was like the first time they ever got a blue alert where they're looking for a suspect. Everybody down there in Florida, there was an alert on everybody's phone saying, hey, 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 have y'all seen this black guy? See, the blue alert, that's just an updated technological advancement of slave catching. A slave catching notice. That's all that is. But look at the words they use, proactive patrolling. That ain't nothing but racial targeting. And we have to understand that it is not our lot in life to be sitting ducks for these damn race soldiers. We done begged, we done pleaded for help, nobody's helping us. So it's your godly duty to help yourself and protect yourself. Even the Constitution gives you that right to protect yourself against tyranny. But even without the Constitution, you have a God-given right to protect yourself by any means. Now, our brother Wallace, we don't know where he is. We hope the brother is safe, because the brother was innocent and he should not have been targeted in the first place, and we shouldn't be afraid to say so. The white media calling him a coward because he defended himself from a potential ambush? No, we're not going to go that route, and we're not going to be afraid to say that we hope he's safe, because there should not be a system of white supremacy where there's a bunch of race soldiers and anti-black white supremacists in law enforcement putting a cloud of threat over every black person's head when they show up. And we have to worry about being ambushed on a regular basis because our system that we pay taxes to, they're not helping us and defending us and protecting us from these white supremacist killers. So you're always innocent until proven guilty. Isn't that what they tell us? Well, that brother's innocent until y'all prove that he's guilty, as y'all say in the law. But see, the white supremacists right now are very desperate, because a lot of us are on code, and they're using this critical race theory talking point to really express their views. Y'all got to see Pat Robertson. Now, Pat Robertson, that's an old school white supremacist. He was up here talking about critical race theory, really meaning us talking about white supremacy. When these people complain about critical race theory, what they're really complaining about is people discussing white supremacy. That's what it's really about. But this is Pat Robertson. Listen to Pat Robertson. He ain't even speaking in code no more. He didn't stop speaking in code in the whole nine yards. Where are we at with this thing? Okay, I'm having some technical difficulties here. Where are we at? Hold on. Hold on, guys. I'm having some technical difficulties here. I'm trying to play that. Hold on 1 second. Okay, my thing is not playing. I'm trying to play it for you guys and having a few technical difficulties here, but that's okay. Look like I'm getting too real over here and they're messing with the internet. I wanted to play Pat Robertson, but it's a little janky over here. So that is what it is. But I'll try to play something a little bit later if I get the internet working correctly over here. Hold on, let me play my spitting music. But we have to understand what this thing is, and we got to be in positions to protect ourselves out here. We got to stop being afraid to protect ourselves. Now, I know the stream stopped. When I start talking real, well, my stream stopped. The internet started acting funny. So it is what it is. But anyway, guys, let me get up out of here. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Don't forget to go to buckbreakingmovie.com. buckbreakingmovie.com, ladies and gentlemen, to get the Buck Breaking DVD. I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday on the stream. Y'all be safe.